Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bloody Water by J. Clifton Slater, narrated by P.J. Oakland. Act 1. Kart Hadasht means new city in Phoenician. Today it's known as Carthage. In 265 B.C., Kart Hadasht was a vast trading and military empire. The empire stretched across the northern coast of Africa, with settlements around the Mediterranean and beyond. As with all empires, Kart Hadasht sought expansion and influence wherever possible. Sicilia, or Sicily, at its closest point, was a bow shot across the Straits of Messina from Roman Republic soil. With the empire's encroachment, the Roman Senate was forced to debate the threat on their southern coastline. In addition to Kart Hadasht seeking more of Sicilia, the Republic was challenged by mercenaries occupying the city of Messina and the restless king of the city-state of Syracuse. In the ancient world, the tension between foreign states created anxiety for their neighbors. Athens, Macedonia, Egypt, Sparta, Kart Hadasht, and the rogues of Illyria struggled for power, dominance, wealth, and survival. International politics is not new. It's as old as mankind, and just as convoluted. Chapter 1. Warship Rowing. Over the past few days, transferees drifted in and reported to headquarters Southern Legion. The port town of Rhegium offered few diversions, and the docks were dangerous because the Sons of Mars sometimes attack the piers in their travels up and down the strait. For these reasons, few men delayed in registering for their assignments, which included a bed and food rations. Due to the unrest in the area and the unique nature of the Southern Territory, the Legion put each new legionary through additional training. 6 men to a training unit, and the first Optio saw to it that the units were assembled as each man reported in. This prevented a delay in bringing the legionaries up to Southern Legion standards. The newest team of men waited in the dark for their teacher. Lance Corporal Ilario Cicera stood with the others in the cool mist of pre-dawn.
"Good morning, legionaries,"
a deep, raspy voice greeted them. He spoke from just beyond the lantern light that encircled the trainees.
"My name is Sergeant Martius. Some in the Southern Legion call me Chief of Boats. Some have less savory terms to describe me. For you, right now, I am your rowing instructor."
A few legionaries groaned.
"I take it from your enthusiastic responses that some of you have boating experience,"
Martius continued from the shadows. He was still an invisible, disembodied specter from the dark, while the training unit stood between 4 bright lanterns.
"But I'm not asking about fishing boats, merchant ships, nor rowing your lass around on a pond. I'm asking for attack rowing experience. Those of you trained in warship rowing, raise your right hand."
None of the legionaries responded.
"Strip off your armor, gladius belts, and helmets. Place your gear on the ground behind you,"
the rowing instructor ordered.
"On the beach is a 16-oar river patrol boat. Shove it into the water, get in, and row to the south."
Lance Corporal Cicera pulled off his helmet, unstrapped his gladius belt, the protective skirt, the shoulder pieces, and the back and front chest sections. After carefully stacking the equipment, he crept out of the light towards the dark beach. The 6-man training unit stumbled around until one legionary shouted,
"Boat! Over here!"
They converged on the voice and grabbed the gunwale. Except all 6 were standing on the same side of the boat. It took a while, but finally they had 3 men to a side. Once evenly distributed, they heaved and shoved the vessel off the beach. The water was cold. By the time the boat was fully floated, The legionaries were waist-deep and shivering. Quickly, they climbed into the vessel.
"Paddles? Where are the paddles?"
one man in the training unit asked.
"I can't find any," another replied.
The six legionaries felt around, but none could locate an oar. Meanwhile, the river patrol boat had caught the current in the Messina Strait and started to drift north.
"Where are you taking my patrol boat?"
Martius growled from the beach.
"Bring my boat back! Right now, people!"
Alerio realized the only way to return the boat to the Optio was to swim it back.
"In the water," he ordered. "Unless you want to beach it and carry the boat back to the sergeant."
Alerio was the first. Reluctantly, the other five slid over the sides and joined him in the cold water. After spinning the boat around, the first thing they noticed was the current pushing against the hull. As they kicked, the boat simply held its position. Martius' voice carried over the sounds of thrashing legs and churning water.
"The vessel you are propelling is a river patrol boat. It is 40 feet long and 8 feet wide, with oar locks for 16 rowers. It's a single bank, meaning she'll have 8 oarsmen on each side."
The rowing instructor's raspy tone cut through the aquatic noises. Due to a person's natural tendency to move toward a source of authority in times of stress, they angled the boat in the direction of the beach. As the bottom of the strait inclined upward, the swimmers on the beach side found footing on the rocks and sand. Soon they had the river patrol boat moving slowly southward. Chapter 2. Oars, Not Paddles. Between pulling from the beach side and the kicking on the other, the patrol boat was returned to the initial site of its launch.
"Attack rowers know their equipment, their boat, and their position. In the Legion, we store our oars, not paddles, on shore," explained Martius.
A lantern flashed into life, and below it appeared a rack of oars sticking up above the glow.
"Grab an oar, form a line, and hold the oar over your head."
Once the six legionaries were lined up, the rowing instructor walked behind them. He slowly moved from one to the next, grabbing the center of each man's oar before pulling it back to test the man's strength.
"First and third men, take the forward rowing stations," he ordered. "Second and sixth, the aft rowing stations. Fourth and fifth man, take the center rowing section."
Alerio was fourth in the line. He followed directions and carried his oar back to the patrol boat. As the training unit converged on the vessel, the first rays of sunlight began to peek over the mountains from the east.
"This is your machina locus, your engine. Always place your strongest rowers midship,"
Sergeant Martius advised as he pointed to the pair at the center rowing area. Still a shadow, the instructor rapped on a U-shaped cutout in the boat's railing and a feature on the oar.
"This is your oar lock. You'll find a leather sleeve on the oar. Place the sleeve in the oar lock with the collar inside the gunwale. The collar prevents your oar from going for a swim without you."
Alerio listened as the instructor pointed and named boat parts. He also watched as the soft morning light revealed the frame of Sergeant Martius. Where previously he had been a gravelly voiced ghost cloaked in the shadows of the night, in daylight, he was revealed to be a scarred beast. Chapter 3. Barbarian Axe. The instructions continued on the beached river patrol boat. The six legionaries followed directions and commands until their arms were exhausted from holding and rotating the oars. After each drill, they held the oar blades suspended off the sand and gravel of the beach.
"Port and starboard, fall in!"
commanded the sergeant for the 100th time.
"Stroke! Stroke! Power 10 in 2!
The left side rowers and those on the right side jumped into the patrol boat and pulled twice slowly. Then they began 10 fast repetitions as directed.
"Port side! Check it down!" he ordered.
The left side held their blades steady while the starboard side continued rowing. In theory, they turned the boat to the right.
"Let her run!"
Martius stated, and the blades were lifted.
"Ship oars and fall out!"
The blades swung high overhead before the training unit rested them beside the hull and stepped out of the boat.
"Meal time!"
the instructor said as he limped away from the vessel. Over his shoulder, he announced,
"Afterwards, we'll launch and see if you've learned anything."
Alario rested his oar on the sand beside the boat and marched up the beach with the others. Bread, meat, cheese, and wineskins filled with watered wine lay on a table just off the beach. While the rest of the training unit gathered together, Alario carried his breakfast to where the instructor sat.
"Sergeant Martius, do you mind if I join you?" he asked.
Like the other men in the training unit, Alario was naked except for his wool undershorts. Martius surveyed the fresh scar on the young legionary's side, the ragged lines on his arms, the parallel scars on his shoulder, and the odd crescent-shaped wound on his head.
"Yes, if you can explain those,"
Martius said while pointing to the multiple blade marks.
"Lance Corporal Alario Sisera, formerly of the Raiders in the Eastern Legion,"
Alario reported as he sat. He explained while motioning to each scar.
"Four rebels, a rebel captain, a sword competition gone wrong, and a disagreement with a gang in the capital. And you?"
He was pointing to Martius' mangled right leg. Short scars crisscrossed the Optio's arms, chest, and his thigh. While prominent, the scars on his body paled in comparison to the mangled right leg. A wide scar ran down the front of the Optio's shin. It ended partway across the top of his foot.
"Barbarian acts on the western frontier,"
Martius stated without emotion. Then he inhaled deeply, closed his eyes, and began to recall.
"I was just a private. The right side pivot for my squad, but still only a simple infantryman. We formed our double lines when the tribes came out of the woods. 2 centuries of infantrymen, about 190 shields, against 600 barbarians."
"Those are ugly odds," suggested Alario.
"We had them held, but the general pulled our cavalry," Martius explained. "Seems the barbarian horsemen had targeted the headquarters sentry, and they needed the cavalry more than us."
The sergeant reached down and punched his thigh twice as if to accent a point.
"There was still over 100 of us able to fight, so we formed a fighting square. With the wounded and our mules in the center, we broke wave after wave of barbarian attacks,"
he stated with pride.
"The lads were in it and the ranks held. Held until another troop of mounted tribesmen joined the fray. They charged our northwest corner while the hordes smashed at our ranks," he explained. "The centurion pulled my squad off the back line and sent us to reinforce the corner. I remember the legionaries doubling up behind the men at the corner. I remember them falling back as 3 tribesmen sacrificed their ponies on Legion Gladi. I remember a burning pain in my thigh. I don't remember the axe that split my leg. I woke up in a field hospital. The medics had set the bone and stitched the flesh, but the foot was fused and had little feeling,"
explained the Optio.
"I took a medical discharge and limped back to my village. After a winter of pity and handouts from my neighbors, I packed my belongings and left. To most of the legions, the Southern Legion has a bad reputation. We're not infantry, except for the patrols in the high hills along the rivers,"
Martius explained.
"Mostly we're on boats or in small garrisons along the coast. Legionaries don't respect fighting from boats or walking guard posts with seagulls, so they look down on us. Well, I needed a place that was desperate for experience. I arrived and was turned down by the senior centurion, but I persisted. For a year, I rode on any merchant vessel that would have a crippled oarsman. I studied the art of the oar. Then I read about warship attacks and discussed the tactics with every old captain I could find. You'd be amazed how many served in the Greek, Illyrian, Syracuse, or even the Carthaginian navies. Almost a year to the day, I limped into the centurion's office and presented him with a plan to improve his rowers and the maintenance of his patrol boats,
declared Martius.
He made me a reserve corporal and watched me for 6 months. At the end of my probation, he called me into his office. I thought he was going to relieve me. Instead, he offered me the chief of boats position with the rank of Optio. And now, every legionary joining the Southern Legion has to go through me to qualify.
Chapter 4 Blisters.
Hold water!
Martius shouted from the aft of the boat. The training unit leaned over their oars and gasped lungs full of air. They had rowed south along the shore of the Messina Strait, then made a wide turn, placing the river patrol boat in the center channel stream and rowed south. Both directions were against the current. Now they rested with their oars in the water.
Dip this in the salt water and wrap it around your blisters,
the sergeant instructed. A bundle of wool cloth pieces was passed along the lines of rowers. Each took a piece, and soon five of the legionaries had dipped the cloth over the side and wrapped it around their raw left hand. All the rowers except one.
Sisera, the cloth is for your blisters,
Martius advised.
Not for your head.
No blisters, Optio, but the damp cloth is refreshing,
Alerio replied. The cloth drooped over his ears and dripped salt water onto his shoulders. He had to peek out from under it to see the instructor.
All legionaries have tough skin on their right hand from gladius practice,
offered Martius.
Rowing always draws blood from the left until it toughens up. What makes you special?
Gladius instructor, sergeant. I practice with both hands,
explained Alerio.
Port and starboard! Ready oars!
Martius said, ignoring the hearsay of a legionary, admitting to using his left hand to wield a gladius.
Stroke! Stroke! Stroke!
The river patrol boat moved slowly towards the beach. With 6 rowers, instead of the normal crew of 16, the vessel was woefully underpowered. Despite the shortage of oars in the water and the exhaustion of the 6, the boat held steady as it cut across the current that tried to push the hull northward.
Back it down!
Martius ordered when the bow of the boat was 2 yards from the shore. The oarsmen reversed their strokes, and the boat slowed until it nudged gently against the beach.
Fall out!
Martius directed. The 6 legionaries climbed over the sides of the gunwale and splashed into the water.
Beach her!
Martius instructed. The chief of boats sat in the rear, while the oarsmen heaved and shoved the boat out of the water. Once it was high enough on the sand, Martius rolled over the side and pushed on the rail so he could stand.
Stack your oars in the rack and grab something to eat,
he said while pointing up the beach to a table laden with bread, meat, and fruit. Seemed the Southern Legion was generous with the rations, Alerio thought. Then he realized that he was really hungry. While running, jumping, blade practice, and even wrestling worked up an appetite, rowing left him starved. He placed the oar in the rack and joined the ravenous training unit at the meal table. Lectures on boat handling filled the afternoon. A few of the legionaries snoozed and others barely paid attention. Alerio listened to every word. Late in the afternoon, a boat appeared far down the shoreline. At first, the vessel was a dot on the water. As it drew closer, the training unit noted it angled left, then right, as if the oarsmen were out of sync. It eventually came close enough to be recognizable as a full-sized patrol boat. When the bow drifted to starboard, the current caught the fore section and began turning the boat away from the shore. Sergeant Martius, who had been watching the boat struggle as he talked, pointed down the beach.
"Something's wrong," he declared.
Indicating one member of the training unit, Martius ordered,
"You, go fetch a medic! The rest of you double time down there and secure that boat!"
Valerio jumped to his feet and raced toward the stricken vessel. Chapter 5 Attack Aftershock. Valerio splashed into the surf just behind another legionary. By the time they started swimming, the current had grabbed the hull of the distressed patrol boat and propelled it further from the beach. The bow caught the edge of the central channel's flow. Between the opposing currents of the strait and the water at the shoreline, the vessel began to spin. Even though Valerio was right behind the first swimmer, he ended up on the opposite side of the rotating boat. The legionaries pulled on the rails and both came out of the water at the same time. As their arms hoisted their chests above gunwale height, they looked down into the patrol boat. A legionary with one arm leaned unconscious on the rearward-facing oar. The nub of the other arm was tied off at his bicep. Three bodies lay on the central beam, unmoving. The last occupants were 10 men slumped over their oars. All 10 were dripping fat red drops into the bloody water collecting in the bottom of the boat. As the other three trainees climbed in, Valerio said to the smallest,
"Take the rear oar. Guide us into mid-channel. We'll use the northern current to help us."
With only 4 oarsmen, it was impossible to move the patrol boat against the southern current running along the shore. Once over the edge of the opposing currents, they rowed with the flow. Martius watched from the beach. Behind the sergeant, ranks of men stood at the ready. Valerio didn't call for a reverse stroke as the boat neared the shore. He let it run hard onto the sand. Legionaries on the beach hoisted the vessel out of the water.
"Medics! Stand by! We'll bring the wounded to you!"
shouted Martius once he saw the slaughterhouse of the interior. To the legionaries he ordered,
"Lift them out and carry the wounded to the medics!"
Once all 14 injured were in the treatment area, Valerio walked down to the boat. Martius was leaning in and pulling gladi, javelins, and arrows from the red-tinted water.
"The appropriate order is back it down," the optio scolded. "With only 4 oarsmen, we were barely able to keep forward movement," explained Valerio. "I was afraid if we slowed, the boat would stall away from the beach." "What you need to be afraid of are hidden rocks ripping out the bottom of my boat,"
Martius sneered as he pulled another gladius from the water and tossed it to the sand.
"If you land a boat that fast on an uncharted beach, you'll be marching back to Rhegium. Where, I might add, I'll be waiting to ask you about my boat."
"I understand, Optio," replied Valerio. "What happened to the boat's crew?"
"That's a good question, Lance Corporal Sisera,"
Martius remarked as he pulled an arrow from the wood of the gunwale.
"Let's go find out."
The 14 legionaries from the patrol boat were laid out in a circle with their feet towards the center. Medics tended to the living. The dead required no treatment.
"These are all that's left of our 3-squad garrison at Okio,"
a centurion informed Martius and Sisera as they approached the triage area.
"A merchant ship came up the inlet, and its captain started yelling for the legionaries. 10 men and their optio began rowing across the river. Before they could reach the merchant, an Illyrian birreme came upstream."
"What was so valuable a pirate ship would dare attack a settlement with a legion garrison?" asked Martius.
"No one knows. The Illyrian ship cut between the patrol boat and our garrison dock," continued the officer. "With our forces split, the legionaries couldn't link up. The Illyrians rained arrows and spears down on the patrol boat, while sending fighters down a ramp to the Legion's dock. The legionaries on the garrison side fought a retreat down the river, reported the Centurion. Once the patrol boat managed to get out from under the shadow of the Illyrian ship, they rowed to meet them. One squad leader and three men formed a shield wall on the riverbank. They held off the Illyrians while the injured jumped for the boat. The 14 who rowed back are the only survivors. The officer stared at the circle of wounded and dead legionaries. Shaking his head to clear the image, he focused on Optio Martius. "Or should I say, these are the ones who made it back," he ventured, narrowing his eyes. "I want those pirates up on crosses, every last one of them. But they'll be gone by morning. We can't counterattack, and we have no way of knowing why they chanced tangling with a Legion garrison at an unimportant farming village." It was late in the day. Half the sun had dipped below the mountaintop on the island across the Messina Strait.
"I don't understand, sir," Alario inquired. "Why can't we go after them now?"
"Because the Southern Legion is scattered up and down the coast," the Centurion explained. "It'll take half the night to gather our forces. We'll have to wait for sunrise to move our ships and men down the coast for a coordinated attack."
"And the pirates will row out at first light," guessed Alario.
"That's right. Without a direction, we wouldn't know where they're headed," confirmed the Centurion. "They'll be at sea before we arrive."
"Let me take a crew and drop off a spotter," offered Martius. "It's only 5 miles to the beach at the Okio Inlet. The farming village and docks are a little over a mile inland. Once our spotter is landed, we'll breach at Point Ravagnese and watch for his signal."
"Do you have someone in mind for the job?" asked the Centurion.
"Excuse me, sir," broke in Alario. "I'd like to volunteer. I've had experience sneaking up on rebels. I can't imagine pirates will provide more of a challenge."
"Optio, your opinion?" inquired the officer.
"If Lance Corporal Sisera wants the job, it's fine with me," Martius remarked. "But we need to get started before it's fully dark."
"All right, Sisera. You're our spotter," the Centurion ordered. "Collect your gear and go with the sergeant."
"Yes, sir." "Sergeant Martius, can you have someone load my armor in the boat?" Alario asked. "If I'm going to sneak around, I'll need to grab something from my quarters first."
Act 2 Chapter 6 Moonless Rowing. Martius clutched and unclutched the rearward-facing oar handle while he bobbed in the patrol boat. His 15 oarsmen on the port side were holding water. The 15 rowers on the starboard side stood in knee-deep water. Between them, the boat remained near the shore, even as the chief of boats grew more tense with each passing moment. The sergeant watched as the young lance corporal jogged onto the beach. Leather straps fell over his shoulders, and the legionary was fastening them together as he ran. When he neared the boat, Martius noticed two gladi hilts jutting up on either side of Sisera's neck.
"Starboard side! Push off and fall in!"
Martius ordered while Alario climbed over the side. The 15 rowers on the left shoved the patrol boat and scurried over the gunwale. Once their oars were in hand, the sergeant announced,
"Rowers, stand by! Stroke! Stroke! Stroke!"
Martius shoved the rear oar so the patrol boat angled away from the shoreline as it surged ahead. Unlike the undermanned river patrol boat the training unit had rowed earlier, the larger coastline patrol boat with 30 oars cut sharply through the salty water of the strait.
"Here's a fire kit,"
Martius said, handing Alario a small wooden box sealed in wax.
"If the Illyrians row straight out of the inlet, light one signal fire to indicate they're heading for Sicilia across the strait. Light two if they turn south and set sail. That means they're heading for open water and home. If they turn south and continue rowing, Light 3. That would be the best scenario for us, because they're staying near...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?